You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As you heard earlier from Terence Hove, the uncertainty that persists in the market is only likely to get a little worse as we go towards the US elections. And so with that, with all of the things that are still up in the air, obviously things around inflation and interest rates become into focus. And I do have that confirmation. The MPC meeting is set to take place next week. So we will have that conversation next week as well. But ahead of that conversation, obviously, we know that elevated interest rate levels and inflation levels mean that we're not likely to see interest rate cuts anytime soon. But we've got different perspectives around what's causing this, actually. And one such perspective is the investment strategist at Old Mutual Wealth, who joins me now, Isaac Urendahl, that suggests that potentially the government has to blame in part. Good evening, Isaac. Thanks so much for taking the time. Lovely to speak to you again. Why would you say that the government is one of the biggest contributors to blame here?
Yeah, it's certainly not the only contributor, but I think it plays a role, and it does so in two ways. The one is we've seen very strong price increases coming from administered and regulated entities, and there specifically I'm talking about, you know, your municipal tariffs, your water bill, your electricity bill, etc. You know, that runs quite a bit higher than normal CPI. So just just pulling out the latest inflation data here from Stats SA, according to them, if we exclude administered prices, inflation was 4.5% year on year, and so that's bang on target from the Reserve Bank's point of view. But if you look at administered prices, you know, that inflation rate is running at almost 9%. Regulated prices, which are those that are directly controlled by the government, that's running at 9.7% year on year. So much higher prices coming from government entities. That's the direct impact. The indirect impact, of course, is that in an environment where it's difficult to do business, and obviously we've had major load shedding over the last couple of years and inefficiencies in the transport system and issues of service delivery at the municipal level, that also puts upward pressure on prices. So to think of, you know, last year when we were doing stage 4, 5, 6 load shedding, how many companies had to run generators? How many retailers, for instance, had to run generators? And that puts upward pressure on the prices that they then pass onto the consumer. So there's that direct impact, and then the indirect impact. Fortunately, this year so far, as we all know by now, there's 100 days of no load shedding. So we are definitely making progress on that indirect impact.
Speaking of the impact on consumers, the latest round of electricity tariffs, I imagine, would then contribute towards this inflationary conversation, or this angle that you suggest, that there's a lot of things that are increasing at a rate that is hurting the consumer more than helping the consumer.
Exactly. And you can't say that is a market-related increase. That is one that is determined by a regulator, and is basically, you know, the regulator kind of crunches the numbers to make sure that Eskom is made whole. And of course, Eskom itself, you know, if it was a much more effectively run institution, and I'm talking now over the course of the last 10 years, probably a lot better today, but over the last 10 years, of course, major inefficiencies, corruption, all kinds of problems go into the fact that I think electricity prices have risen as much as they have. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is another blow for consumers, and it also, again, puts upward pressure on the inflation index, on the CPI.
Isaac, the government has come out to say that it's not their fault. It is the fact that there's no revenue. Revenue needs to grow and things are difficult. And we've heard these stories. Is it sustainable to want to pursue revenue growth or to want to pursue revenue at the cost of things like economic growth and at the cost of just not dealing with the inefficiencies?
Yeah, so specifically in the case of Eskom, the problem is the more you put up those tariffs, the more people are going to move away from Eskom and try and generate power or purchase power from independent producers or put up their own solar panels or whatever. So you're actually creating an incentive. You're actually kind of creating a problem down the line where your revenues are going to fall. Other problem, of course, is that for municipalities, electricity is a source of income. They buy electricity from Eskom and they sell it to you, and they charge earn a margin on that. in a new world, deregulated electricity market, in a world where we can generate their own electricity, I think, you know, that is a model that will have to be looked at, because, as you say, it's not necessarily sustainable for municipalities to make, you know, to have such a large portion of their revenue coming from electricity sales. So that is definitely something down the line that we will have to look at. You know, how do you cover that gap in municipal revenues if they can't sell electricity anymore?
Speaking of things we need to look at that might not be so far down the line, the South African Reserve Bank has come out repeatedly to say that the result of continued spending or the result of maladministration, all of these factors impact on their ability to do their job, and that's kind of why we're not seeing interest rates come down. Another side of this conversation is the fact that the government itself, that now, as you suggest, is contributing towards this elevated inflation, is the same government that's responsible for providing the Reserve Bank with its mandate of inflation targeting. Should that not be looked at? Should we not be having the conversation to then say, okay, government, if you insist on driving inflation up, you can't then impose a inflation targeting band or directive or mandate to the central bank that doesn't line up with what we're doing as government? Shouldn't that not be a conversation?
Yes, it is. It is ironic that the government gave the Reserve Bank the inflation target 3 to 6%, and that was all the way back in 1999, I think, if I remember correctly. And since then, the government really has not held its end of the bargain by keeping its own price increases within that 3 to 6 range. So I think that does complicate things for the Reserve Bank. And bear in mind also, the Reserve Bank itself is very keen for a lower inflation target. It wants to lower inflation over time. So in a sense, they are working at cross purposes. And you also mentioned fiscal policy earlier, which is, you know, government's spending and tax decisions. That has also worked at cross purposes with monetary policy, because, of course, all that additional debt has really just driven up long-term interest rates in the economy. So we would all benefit from more coordination between the various arms of government. It remains to be seen whether we can get that right, though.
Remains to be seen is certainly the viewpoint. But with that viewpoint, the people that are suffering, as we said, are the South African citizens, you and I, that have to put up with this higher inflation. How do we then navigate where we stand? How do we then deal with the fact that the inflation targeting could take a while to deal with, but in the interim, these prices or these elevated interest rate levels are affecting consumer pockets?
Yeah, look, I do think interest rates will start coming down in the next couple of months. I'm hoping that as soon as next week, the Reserve Bank can start reducing interest rates. But an elevated inflation story does suggest there's limits to how far they can cut rates. And as I said, they are kind of keeping one eye on the longer term, and the longer term they want inflation even lower than 4.5%. They will probably aim for around 3%. And I think that too limits the extent to which we're going to see interest rate relief, but at least there will be some interest rate relief over the next couple of months. But ultimately, unfortunately, a lot of these things we cannot get away from. I mean, we are forced to pay, you know, these tariffs. We are forced to pay municipal property rates, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you can't really get away from it. And that is, I think, one of the sad things, is because in a dynamic market-based economy, of course, if somebody's prices are ridiculous, then you will find a competitor and an alternative. But for these kind of items, there is no alternative, and we kind of stuck with it.
Isaac, does growth relieve the pressure from the consumer? If we get growth as a country, does that not then take the pressure off to say we are growing at a rate that is a manageable rate, therefore things like a 2% inflation target or a 3% inflation target become a reality because we actually have employment, because we actually have economic development? Does that not seem like a possible solution to then say, if we want to maintain these levels, this is what needs to be done?
So normally you would say that as an economy grows, that there would typically be some upward pressure on prices. So often you'd see that as an economy kind of accelerates, you see inflation picking up a bit as well. I think South Africa is in a unique situation, though, because our growth picture is so skewed by all these supply side inefficiencies, notably load shedding, notably logistics, etc. Those same things that also contribute to high inflation. So as we address, for instance, load shedding, as I mentioned earlier, I think in that process, you are not only going to get faster economic growth, but you're also going to see downside pressure on prices, because you are dealing then with a more efficient economy, you are dealing with more efficient electricity, more efficient logistics. So in this circumstance, we can actually manage to get faster growth and lower inflation by fixing some of these big supply side bottlenecks that have really held us back over the last 5 to 10 years.
Improve the efficiencies and the rest will take care of itself. For now, we'll leave it at that. Thanks so much, Isaac Werdendal, investment strategist at Old Mutual, joining me to reflect on the fact that the government is not helping the inflation picture.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.